Here's a sobering statistic from economist Nariman Berevesh. More jobs were lost in the 2007-09 recession than in the previous recessions combined. But jobs are coming back. The website Simply Hired, which aggregates job openings, says they now have 5 million jobs in their database. That's the same as before the downturn. So where are those jobs? Well, conveniently, Bill Saporito has written a story for Time magazine entitled Where the Jobs Are, Who's Creating Them, and Who Will Benefit. And he joins us for an overview. Welcome.
Thank you.
And we know all of these stats I just mentioned because they're in your article. And the headline really seems to be, let's get right to it, that there are jobs in technology.
Well, there certainly are, and there have been. It's one of the areas that will continue to grow with, you know, some hiccups here and there. Technology companies rise and fall fairly quickly, but employment tends to grow across the industry.
Well, you quote the CEO of Activision Blizzard. They make entertainment software. They say they've doubled in size in the last 4 years. So just give us an example, like who might they hire?
They would be looking for coders. They'd be looking for people in animation. They'd be looking for engineers, support services, and managers, too, people who, you know, needed to run the business itself.
Yeah. There's the Chicago-based online discounter Groupon. We've all heard about Groupon. They're hiring in Chicago. But this high-tech boom that you describe extends also to manufacturing because of green technology. Explain that to us, because here in Massachusetts, we're watching the company Evergreen Solar shut down after the state invested millions in it. So tell a story that you found about manufacturing that is working.
Well, solar is a different sort of industry because it has worked off of subsidies, and also because China has decided to jump into solar big time and rearrange the cost structure in solar. So it's become much more iffy, even though it is high tech. Now let's get down to something that doesn't seem to be high tech, but it is: making dishwashers and refrigerators, for instance. General Electric has just decided to invest $1 billion in its appliance business, and they're going to hire a lot of people there. And what they're doing is a new kind of manufacturing that really focuses on lean. We're going to think about how we design and build these things. And everyone who has any part in the production is going to be in the same room, more or less.
Yeah.
So before we even think about designing it, we're going to think about designing it green and lean.
We've been hearing about this thinking from people at MIT who are working on trying to revive manufacturing in the U.S., and they say this is the new idea. Instead of sending out different components and different parts of the manufacturing process, it's all going to be under one roof, which means that your workers get automatically more educated because they're aware of what's going on around them.
Well, they're not only more aware, they're part of the process.
Right.
So, the way we typically design things is someone would figure out the design and they would hand it off to the engineers who figure out how to build it, and then they would hand it off to the employees who are actually building it. And, you know, that doesn't turn out to be the most efficient way of doing things, because employees have, you know, great ideas about how to make things.
So you write about General Electric with this new sort of high-end thinking towards manufacturing refrigerators and other things that will have more high-tech green technology. And you remind us that in part the demand comes from other countries that are just buying their first refrigerators. But in telling us this, you are reminding us that these people who are going to build these new high-tech refrigerators, I would think, would have to be more highly educated.
They will have to be more educated, better trained, and that's part of it. You just simply can't walk out of school like you used to be able to walk out of high school and walk into a factory job. That doesn't happen anymore. I mean, we write in this story about gunmaker Smith & Wesson.
Here in Massachusetts, yeah.
Which has recently agreed to expand its plant. It's a sophisticated operation, gunsmithing, if you will, and it takes people who really know their way around metal and machining. So they, at Smith & Wesson, have been very smart about developing talent in the area. They move their old machines to vo-tech schools and community colleges where people can train on this equipment. And so they actually have a labor pool they can draw on.
When I read that in your article in light of the recent news, it was kind of chilling. But the truth is, gun sales are up, and Smith & Wesson is hiring.
Listen, guns are an industry. So who's going to make them and where is an issue.
Well, and what you're saying is that manufacturers are realizing that they have to help sort of in the training of these new workers. And you give a great example of this in Baltimore, which is a city which has come upon terrible times. I think you said 16% unemployment.
It's very high,
yeah.
Yes.
But yet they have Johns Hopkins. So what's happening there?
Well, here's a city with a skills mismatch, and this is a problem across the country. In Baltimore, you have a city that had been hollowed out. Its middle class has left. It's lost a third of its population. So the population that's left is poor and doesn't have the tools. So in the meantime, Hopkins is into areas such as bioengineering. You know, they have a huge medical center. They employ 47,000 people in the area. You know, they've had to start their own job development, skills training within the institution. And there's a group of people who are left behind in this, and they need training. They need to be handed the tools to be able to work.
We're going to talk more about that, skills training, after a break. Here are some other things that Bill noticed. Remember that GE plan to build green manufacturing plants that we talked about? It's at its Alliance Park in Louisville, Kentucky, and three other GE locations. Well, GE actually repatriated, or as Bill writes, insourced a whole refrigerator manufacturing line that it had sent to South Korea. Insourcing, that may be a new jobs buzzword. Bill also talked to an engineering firm that's getting a lot of business from competitors that downsized, and now they can't meet their engineering demand. This company is stepping in. We'll hear about that. Bill Saporito has research jobs for Time Magazine. He'll be back. Also later today, Republican pollster Frank Luntz, he says he would have advised Republicans not to use the phrase job killing on the health care law. We'll ask him why later. Back in a minute, here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, dedicated to accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science worldwide. On the web at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back. We're talking about jobs today. Who's hiring, like technology and engineering consulting firms? Who isn't? Construction, domestic auto companies. Bill Saporito has researched where the jobs are for Time Magazine. There's more at our website, hereandnow.org. But he's been telling us that there's a divide, a mismatch between skills companies want and skills workers have. He saw it in Baltimore and in Detroit, where he writes about companies that are desperate for workers. And Bill, you know, you'd think unemployment is at 13% in Detroit. There are plenty of people, but you write these aren't the right people. Companies need highly trained workers, and that's not who's unemployed. So tell us, for instance, about Ricardo. This is an engineering company you spoke to.
Well, this is an engineering company that does very high-end work. They work on Italian sports cars. They work on wind turbines. They work on unmanned aerial vehicles. So it's not just a simple sedan. So they are looking for engineers across Detroit, you know, many who are working in the automotive industry. They were forced to put up a billboard, say, you know, come check us out. We've got great engineering jobs.
Well, as you write, it was a pretty sexy billboard, too. If you're a car enthusiast, they put a sports car up there, and the tagline on the billboard was, "This is why you became an engineer." And the guy that you talked to at the company called it engineer porn.
Well, of course, engineers want to design, you know, the sexiest stuff, so. And this company is trying to put it out there.
Well, and there's a lot going for the workers right now. A weaker U.S. dollar makes U.S. labor more competitive with other countries. And as you said, there's this new thinking. We want to keep it all here. We want to keep it all under one roof, the lean manufacturing. But where are some of the other disconnects between the jobs that are there and the people needed to do them?
Well, the disconnect is more in the macro side of the economy. The reason we don't have job growth right now, and in fact we've had an increase in unemployment claims, is that demand isn't increasing fast enough. So companies will not expand unless they see demand. They have to see top line growth. If they're going to make a $60,000 to $70,000 investment, they need to be absolutely sure they're going to get the payback for it. And they're not sure at this point that it's there. So that's one of the reasons why employment is sort of lagging the economy. Even though the economy is growing, employment is lagging.
Yeah. Well, some of the areas still that are doing well, we've known about education and health services. But you're right, not surprisingly, local governments are going to start shedding jobs. We know all the criticism of the pension plans, workers, of course, pushing back on that. But there's going to be job loss there.
The estimate that we have from Moody's is about 150,000 government jobs are going to go bye-bye this year. State government workers are sort of being targeted right now because states are in such desperate shape.
And this is still a man session? Is that, what's the word?
The he session.
He session, right.
it's, you know, when you think about the hits that manufacturing has taken, that construction has taken, construction alone has shed a couple of million jobs, and that tends to be male-dominated. And the other thing that's happening is that if you look at the areas that are growing in jobs, education and health, they tend to attract more females. And the other thing is that women are earning degrees at a faster clip than men. So they are better prepared for the jobs that are available.
Plus, another thing you note is that men are more likely to be the ones holding on to the mortgage, and they often now, because their houses have, are not worth what they bought them for, they often can't sell their home to move somewhere.
Well, yeah, there's a mobility issue here. If so many people are underwater, they, even if they found a job across the country, they can't sell a house if they own it,
yeah,
because they would just lose so much money. Their mortgage is underwater. So there's a lot of things that are holding us back on the employment front.
But speaking about where you live, North Dakota might be a good choice. Why?
Well, North Dakota has energy going for it right now, and China and India are still growing. So, you know, there's a need for these types of materials. And it's a global economy. We say it over and over again, but where is the demand coming from? The demand is not coming from the U.S., but it's coming from outside the U.S., and that is going to mean jobs in the Dakotas, which is sort of interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, and part of your overarching headline here, that the recovery as it comes is going to be cruelly uneven. It'll favor the Dakotas over, say, Florida or Nevada. It'll favor the college-educated over blue-collar workers, cities that have industry clusters over places that don't.
Yeah, we're seeing a sort of bifurcated job recovery. It certainly pays to have an education. It literally pays to have an education. At the bottom end, it's getting more difficult because so many lower-skilled jobs in manufacturing have been outsourced, and even in services have been outsourced. So that's a real issue. We need to get more people through college in this country.
Yeah, especially since, as you write, the new energy regulations go into effect in 2014, and these companies, these manufacturing companies that are switching over to these high-tech green technologies are ramping up to meet that deadline. Well, Bill, I'm looking at sort of this graph that you have. Terrific reporting here, by the way. I'm looking at the graph of, you know, where the jobs are. I see all the young people I know in school are heading right for the bottom of the the graph, where no openings are in arts, entertainment, recreation. But what's just going away completely? What's not coming back?
Well, low-end manufacturing, for instance, is not coming back. It's certain office services are not coming back because you can send them to India and have it done. You know, for instance, in my company, we've outsourced certain processing of expenses to India. This kind of low-end manufacturing and low-end paper pushing, if you will, to be a bit unkind, is not coming back. We need to focus on the higher end of everything, of manufacturing, of services, because we're not going to own the lower end.
Well, and again, that means educating people to be ready for that. Bill, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Bill Saporito's article for Time Magazine, again, is entitled Where the Jobs Are, Who's Creating Them, Who Will Benefit. For more, you can go to herenow.org. And while there, please let us know, are you hiring? What's your field? Did you lay people off and are now replacing them? Or are you responding to some other forces and increasing your workforce? HereAndNow.org, let us know. This note about tomorrow on Here and Now, the war in Afghanistan, it may be off the radar, but it's taking a terrible toll on Marines in Helmand Province. Listen to this. 100 out of 1,000 Marines, that's 1 in 10, coming home having lost at least one leg. That's tomorrow. Latest news is next, Here and Now.
Support for Here and Now comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced, Hinckley, Allen & Snyder, where partners have been giving clients practical legal advice for over 100 years throughout New England and now including Connecticut, online at haslaw.com, and the Institute of Contemporary Art on the Boston waterfront. Discover the power and beauty of new art and ideas, icaboston.org.